Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday after having, man, a half a week of rain and just the blistering wind as it goes, putting us without a doubt in the midst of the fall season headed straight into winter. And it's unbelievable that today is the last day of October as we move into November. But I want to thank you so much for being part of Vital Ministries today and also to being plugged in your everyday lives, especially on your Sunday. And if you're driving down the highway today, I want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio as you travel. I hope that this is an inspirational time for you as we look at what it means as we've got a special subject that we're going to talk about today. So I just encourage you to sit there, listen. I think we got some good stuff. Also, too, those of you that are headed on your way to church, thank you for listening and being part of Vital Ministries as you travel to your church to worship the Lord. And also, too, many say, Mike, this is my time that I sit down at my own home or I'm standing in my shop or going down the highway listening on the radio. I want to thank you for being that this is part of your Sunday and taking time. So thank you so much. Before we jump in, I want to give a few details of some events that we got coming up. Next Saturday, November 6th, we have our first Vital Men's Warrior Breakfast at Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. We go from 7 to 8 o'clock. We're going to have what I would call a good manly breakfast that morning, just some really good stuff. It's going to be great food that we're going to serve. And also, too, I'll be doing a devotional, a teaching that morning. But we'll have you out of there by 8 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss it. It's a great time as men to come. And also, too, those of you who have sons, I encourage you, this is a good thing for bring your sons to. Being around other men, other grown men, and how do they act being what it means to be defined as what a man is, and also to participating in hearing God's word. So just a great time. Again, that's November 6th. November 14th, we have our next Vital Gathering. You're not going to want to miss that. That's 2 weeks away. And we're excited about that as we plan for that event. That's going to be at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Just going to be a really good time. We're going to have a kind of a Thanksgiving meal type situation there to kind of jumpstart the whole teaching series, having an attitude of gratitude. We got a special guest, Robbie Robinson from Newton. You're not going to want to miss that. He's a great man of God. He's a great speaker. We'll also, too, have our Vital Ministries worship team with us. Just some great music as we worship the Lord. As we enter into this next season called The Attitude of Gratitude during Thanksgiving. You don't want to miss it. Also, too, I just want to bring a highlight out, too. We also send out devotionals 6 days a week. You can go to vitalministries.org. Check that website out. You get an opportunity of each day to have a devotional sent right to you on demand, right on your phone, bring it to your computer, however it works best for you to have a devotional. For we have actual Vital Men. We have five writers that do Vital Men, specifically geared for men in their day. And also, too, we have Vital Life. My wife does the teachings for Vital Life. That goes out 6 days a week. Great inspirational word. Great nugget. It's short, but yet it comes with a profound highlight of what the Bible is saying. And also, too, is how does it work in our everyday life? So just another good thing for you to get plugged in. So you don't want to miss out on that good stuff. So a lot of stuff going on in Vital Ministries as we head into this holiday season. And you don't want to miss it. So just be a part of it. But again, it's October 31st, the end of the month, and it's Halloween night. Amazing, isn't it? We're not going to focus on the event of Halloween itself, but I do want to touch on it a little bit this morning before we go into our teaching. I saw this past week things being stated on Facebook. It was kind of interesting that there's been more people who have encountered ghosts since the pandemic. Well, first of all, I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe in both angelic presence. And I also believe in the demonic presence. It's real, and it's important for us to be able to recognize both of those. I think a lot of times when people just go looking for ghosts, what they're really doing is making alive the demonic spirits and that sort of thing and arising it. And those are the things, those are the presence, and it is real, folks. That is what they're trying to rise. See, there's always a controversy in the church as to whether or not to recognize Halloween or not, isn't it? Some churches do the trunk or treat. to get families to get onto the church property, bring light into the American tradition of Halloween itself. And I think all those things are good. Those are good things in the midst of Halloween, which I think I call it a dark holiday, but a lot of people call it fun, a lot of good things. So it depends on where you sit at in your mind, and I'm not trying to change that. I just want to bring a few things to light to you this morning to help us to get a better understanding of Halloween itself. There's a church in Oklahoma called Guts Church, and they put on their biggest evangelistic outreach ministry during Halloween, and they call it, they have a place where you go through a building, a haunted house, for better words of saying, called The Nightmare. It shows what the demonic forces do to people through addictions and also to the slavery to sin itself. At the end, it gives you a choice to either follow Jesus or continue on the highway to hell. It's all the churches, not all churches can accept what they're doing at Guts Church down in Oklahoma, but they have hundreds of people come to Christ during the Halloween season using that dark holiday as an event of light and bringing the gospel message and showing what the demonic forces do in the midst of addictions and slavery. I think it's great. I love it. But it's being a success for them. It's working. Again, that's not for every church, and not everybody listening to me this morning is going to agree upon that, but I just think it's good. People come to find Christ. See, the demonic forces, folks, are without a doubt real. Even in the Bible, we will see the devil and his forces at work. I'm going to take us this morning, this isn't our teaching, but it's important for us to kind of get a setting as we go out today, as we look at what I call the demonic forces. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we see where King Saul, he goes and contacts a medium or a witch in order to get some understanding about the future of what lies ahead. But that is not a good thing in Saul's life. So let's start with 1 Samuel chapter 28, start with verse 4. And it says this. It says, the Philistines set up camp in Shunem, and Saul gathered all the army of Israel and camped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the vast Philistine army, he became frantic with fear. He asked the Lord what he should do. But the Lord refused, I'm going to answer this question, but the Lord refused to answer him either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. Saul then said to his advisors, find a woman who is a medium so I can go and ask her what to do. His advisors replied, there is a medium in Endor. So Saul disguised himself by wearing ordinary clothing instead of his royal robes. Then he went to the woman's home at night and accompanied by two of his men. He says, I have to talk to a man who has died, he said. Will you call up his spirit for me? The woman replies, are you trying to get me killed? She demanded, you know that Saul has outlawed all mediums and all who consult the spirits of the dead. Why are you setting a trap for me? But Saul took an oath in the name of the Lord and promised, as surely as the Lord lives, nothing bad will happen to you for doing this. Finally, the woman said, well, those spirits, who do you want me to call up? Saul says, I want you to call up the prophet Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed, you've deceived me. You are Saul. Saul says, don't be afraid, he told her. What do you see? I see a God coming up out of the earth, she said. What does he look like? He is an old man wrapped in the robe. He replied, Saul replied, it was Samuel, and he fell to the ground before him. Why have you disturbed me by calling me back? Samuel asked Saul. Because I'm in deep trouble. Saul replied, the Philistines are at war with me, and God has left me and won't reply by the prophets or dreams. So I have called for you to tell me what to do. Samuel makes this statement, says, why ask me, since the Lord has left you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done just as he said he was doing. He has torn the kingdom from you and given it to your rival David. The Lord has done this to you today because you have refused to carry out his fierce anger against the Machilites. What's more, the Philistines tomorrow and you and your sons will be there with me. The Lord will bring you down, your entire army of Israel, in defeat. Saul falls full length to the ground, paralyzed with fright because of Samuel's words. Now, this is pretty interesting what goes on is as we talk about this whole Halloween night and there's things that are going. But see, we see sadness as we find Saul's life. He could have had blessings on his life, couldn't he? He could have. But he led a life focusing, chasing King David instead of chasing the Lord. He could have grown spiritually, but he chose to chase after King David in order to kill him. See, this is a bad spot in the midst of Saul's life. And we see this tragic and this first leader, this first king. And here's some things that we find in this portion of the Bible that I think helps us to understand as we go into this next teaching. Here's some things that we see in Saul's life. Number one, he was unprepared to lead. See, he was so focused on David and his leadership instead of the leadership that God gave him. And by doing so, it made him unprepared to lead his own people. He became a bad king right out of the chute for the Israel nation. And that's sad when you think about that because he's so focused on other things. He's focused on what, instead of what God has for his life, he's focused on what he wants, and the focus is killing David. He also is unprepared to fight. You know, instead of getting his army ready, instead of being ready for battle himself, he takes his army and continue throughout his life chasing David. And multiple times the Lord tells King Saul, let him go. Focus on me. He gives him opportunity after opportunity, but fails. And the last thing we see, that he's literally unprepared to die. Instead of chasing a witch, you should have been chasing God and the unpreparedness of death. You know, I find so many people, as people get older, they are preparing their lives for the end, for the beginning to meet Christ. And I think that is such a good thing, as people should be always preparing for death. Because what's true is there's always life and there's always death. Our parents prepare us for life, our mothers from the womb as we are born, but also too, in preparing for death is something that's evident unless the Lord returns. How are you preparing for death within your own life? Obviously, we see King Saul being unprepared. But today I want to bring to light in this sometimes dark holiday and look at why some call the Holy Spirit the Holy Ghost. I think that's interesting, folks, because a lot of times you'll see, especially in the Pentecostal churches, the Holy Spirit being called out as the Holy Ghost. But let's look at why. See, the first translations of the King James in 1611 calls the Holy Ghost as opposed to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until many years later that the change was brought from Holy Ghost to the Holy Spirit, which was brought into different translations of the Bible. The main difference from Holy Ghost to Spirit is linguistics as to theology. The word ghost is derived from an old English word called geist. For the most part, on the King James Version, uses the word Holy Ghost as opposed to the Holy Spirit. That's how it's derived in terminology of the Holy Ghost. In the King James, Holy Ghost, you can find named 90 times as to the Holy Spirit, which is only named 4 times. In the 17th century, two words, ghost and spirit, became synonymous. What do we do now with both the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit referred to the third person always of the Trinity, a co-equal and co-substantial with the Father and the Son? But this morning, we're going to look at what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Spirit does 5 things we need to know about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit and how he operates. And if you're home this morning, I think this is some really good stuff because as we look at Halloween and people talk about ghosts, we're going to talk about the real Holy Ghost, the really Holy Spirit that does good things in our life, that is not a demonic spirit, that is part of the triune God, and it is good for our lives, and see how he works. So my first point this morning is this. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now I want to show you something this morning in Isaiah chapter 63:10. And this is what it says. Who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Borzara, with the clothing stained red, who is this royal robes marching in his great strength? Now, that's verse 1, but I'm going to move you to number 10, verse 10. It says this, but they rebelled against him and grieved the Holy Spirit. So what happens? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he became their enemy and fought against them. That's important to see. See, the Holy Spirit is real. It is an identity. It's the Spirit that we can't see or touch, but that we hear. It is part of the triune God. He is real, and he also has feelings. Because we just read that, he becomes enemy, and in doing so, he fights against them because Israel rebelled against the Holy Spirit itself. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and we'll see something else. It says this, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. See, that once this, it brings sorrow to the Holy Spirit when we don't live out our lives what God calls us to do. And I think that's important for us today as we look at who the Holy Ghost is in our lives. He is a person. It's not an it. It's not this ghost like Casper, the ghost itself. Absolutely not. He is a real part of the Trinity. And it grieves him when we don't follow what Jesus does. And I find that so interesting in the midst of our lives because I'm gonna share with you. A lot of times the separation from us between the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is brought upon our actions and our attitudes of how we do life. See, if we don't have an attitude of gratitude in the midst of our life, it really creates a separation between, it quenches how the Holy Spirit can actually work in our lives. It creates a wall. It creates a place of separation that we don't have, where we have communion, for better words of saying, relationship with the Holy Spirit, because we're not living out what the Holy Spirit asks us to do. So I'm going to encourage you about this. When you think about the Holy Spirit, think about the Holy Ghost himself. He's real. He's a person. He lives within us. And is something that he is someone who we can go to every day of our lives. A lot of times as we pray not only to Jesus, but we also too ask for the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about his power a little bit later on. But he is an identity. And I hope I'm getting this across this morning. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost is real. He's a real person. Which brings me to point number two. The Holy Spirit was present during the life of Jesus. And I want to show you that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, when Jesus goes and is being baptized. It says this. I'm going to start with verse 13. Then Jesus went to the Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? Now we realize that John the Baptist is actually Jesus' cousin. So this is what Jesus says, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. Verse 16, it says this, after the baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling upon him. See, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was present during the life of Christ himself. He was anointed. He had the Holy Spirit indwelling within Jesus himself. That's where he got the power to do the miracles and the things that he did, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's important for us today, that we have the favor, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us in how we do life. So when we grieve this Holy Spirit, and that's what was our first point, but when we have an attitude of gratitude in the midst of our life and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon us, man, folks, our day just simply goes better. We have a different view of how life is, all because the Holy Spirit is in our lives, just like he was in Jesus himself. And we read throughout the New Testament, and also, too, especially in the first four books, which is the Gospels of telling about the life of Christ, we see the power of the Holy Spirit always orchestrating in Jesus' life himself. So it's important for us to realize that. Which brings us to point number three this morning. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, works in our lives as believers. And I want to show you that this morning out of John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And this is really, really good stuff this morning. It says this. This is Jesus' words. He tells his disciples this. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, which is reference to the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and with you now and later and will be with you. See, that's important for us to realize that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, works and lives within our lives, doesn't he? He's always part of us. He's with us if we ask him to be a part of our everyday lives and everything that we do. You know, oftentimes, I talked with a young man this week who's dealing in work. And one of the things that he said, Mike, I've been working, doing some things on the internet as far as buying and selling and trades and all that stuff that he does in the stock market. And he said he was really having a difficult time. And to be a matter of fact, he had lost a lot of money. And I said, are you praying about it? Are you asking Holy Spirit to give you guidance and direction? He will give that to you. And he says, it really works that way? And I said, yes. I believe that Jesus allows the Holy Spirit to everything in our lives. I know another man who called me, and his wife is desperately ill with COVID-19, and she has pneumonia in her lungs, and she is literally fighting for her lives. And I encourage him, now's the time to stand. Stand in who, knowing who you are in Christ, and allow the Holy Spirit to live within you and pray for your wife. Pray over her. Be the strength. Be the stronghold that she needs right now. And see, that's important for us as we do that, the Holy Ghost, as he lives within our lives. See, the Holy Spirit is real. He's not just this ghost that chases around. He's real, and he's part of our lives and every life. And that's what God, Jesus, was wanting to say, that the Holy Spirit is real, men. He lives within you. And the Spirit is about to come. He was sharing that with the disciples. He was about to come, as we will read later on in the book of Acts, how the Holy Spirit comes in great power. Which moves us to point number four this morning. The Holy Spirit works in the world through evangelism. And I want to take you to John chapter 16, verse 8. And I want to show you how that works for us this morning. And this is what it says, starting with verse 8. It says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Man, that's important, isn't it, for today as we look at how the Holy Spirit uses evangelism. He does it, again, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. That's where the conviction comes. When you have conviction, when you're listening to a sermon, maybe you're listening this morning, you have conviction of sin that all of a sudden comes on your life. That is from the Holy Spirit himself. And also, too, not only does he do that, but he also will bring the coming judgment. He brings righteousness and coming judgment. Man, that's powerful, isn't it, this morning? And also the Holy Spirit wants relationship with us. And we'll see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm going to show that to you this morning as well. In verse 7, it says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and time, and they are not for you to know. Now, why are you asking me? Because it's relationship. He says, the Father, and having relationship will help you know what to do as the Holy Spirit comes. That's essential, isn't it, in our lives? But the last point I want to share with you this morning, as our time is winding down quickly, is that the Holy Spirit changes life. And I want to show you that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling the people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's us, folks. And see, that's where the power of the Holy Spirit comes. And how that happens is through love itself. Love is the power of the Holy Spirit that does the conviction. And through that, the love of loving other people. See, if we really want to show whether or not we're truly disciples of Christ, it's always through our love, and it's not through hate. That's important. I'm going to say that again. The power of the Holy Spirit always comes through the love of loving people as opposed to hating people. Last week I shared with you, a lot of people have shared with me, Mike, I don't much care to be around people or be around people themselves anymore. I understand that because that part of our lives, because I think what happens in the midst of life itself, and especially the times we have, you can get jaded. This past week we were pouring some concrete and we were in a road in a residential area, and there was only one way to pass through. We had a cement telebelt. We're telebelting materials into a basement and turning right around and pouring concrete. So there was only one way. I found it so interesting. People got so impatient because they couldn't travel through as fast as they could. They let on their gas pedal, laid rubber, or they gave obscene gestures to us simply because we're trying to do a job. Now, here's the interesting thing. We started very early that morning to try to do our best to stay out of people's way so they can continue the work. And we were out of the street by 10:30. So a matter of 4 hours is all it was. But people got hostile, angry in the process because they couldn't travel to Casey's or get out to the highway, and it changed them a couple of minutes in getting what they wanted to do. See, folks, if we're truly going to be disciples and bring witnesses of Christ, that means in everything we do, even in our everyday ordinary lives of how we work, how do people perceive us? If we're truly going to have the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in our lives, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to continue to transform our lives and be changed. That's essential in everything that we do, folks. If you don't hear anything about what I said this morning, this is important. We are advocates of the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. The power of changed lives is only through Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. That's what changes us. That's what transforms us. And also so we can have identity with Christ himself. With that, will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, we just want to thank you again for allowing the Father to send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost in the midst of this holiday season of Halloween. Lord, I pray, even though the darkness and the demonic forces try to use it to bring greater darkness into people's lives, I pray today in your name, as we look at Halloween night itself, it is a night of light. It's a night of in which we get to share the gospel message of change that we've had in our lives. Lord, I pray that anybody listening today, maybe they don't know you as their Savior, that today they can ask you simply by asking to say, I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior and come into my heart. It's that simple. Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for sending the Advocate. Thank you for sending Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, that empowers us and brings change in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious holy name. Amen. Folks, next week we're going to start on a new teaching series, The Attitude of Gratitude, of Living a Changed, Thankful Life. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be exciting. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.